بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is our third session on wisdom. And we continue today with rest of the verses in the Quran about hikmah. If you could go to the second page, the top of the page, you have verse 113 of chapter 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَهَمَّ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَنْ يُضِلُّوكَ وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَضُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. This is an address to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and Allah says that if it were not that Allah has favor or grace and mercy on you, a group of them would have decided to misguide you, would have tried hard to misguide you, but they don't misguide except themselves. So either it means that because of Allah's mercy and favor, they didn't manage to misguide the Prophet, or even more, which is more likely to be the case, because of Allah's grace and mercy, they even didn't try to misguide the Prophet, because they didn't have hope that if they try, they can misguide the Prophet. For sure, the Prophet was not misguided. But Allah says, if it was not, were not because of his grace and mercy, lahammat ta'ifatun, a group of them would have tried, would have made efforts to misguide you. But they cannot, of course, misguide the Prophet. They only misguide themselves. وَمَا يَضُرُّونَكَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. They cannot harm you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect someone, no one can harm him. If you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your guardian, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in public to all people, if you like, I can become your guardian. I can become your wali. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the guardian of those who believe. It's up to you. Do you want to choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your guardian or not? He doesn't impose himself on you. But if you choose him as your guardian, as protector, as your support, no one can harm you. What can they do? The most they can do is to create problem, is to imprison you, to torture you, to kill you. This is the maximum they can do. If Allah wants, even Allah can protect you against these things. And if for some reason Allah wants you to be receiving some kind of pain in this dunya so that your reward would be increasing hereafter, again, you are not losing. Do you think those who were killed in Uhud, in Badr, in Karbala, they lost something? They didn't lose anything. The only time you lose is when you give in. If you say, okay, I don't want to be any more a Muslim. I don't want to be any more a faithful person. I don't want to follow the Prophet. I want to be like you. So in this way, you will lose. But if a mu'min wants to remain on the right path and have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his guardian, they cannot harm him. Even if they kill him, they cannot harm him. By killing him, they make him even in higher position. They cannot take away this beauty of faith, this gift of iman. And if you remember, some of you attended the lectures on self-knowledge. We had this beautiful verse there. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَذُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ظَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O those who believe, be concerned with yourselves. Those who have been misguided, they would not harm you if you are guided. If you are guided, no one can harm you. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. Now, about wisdom. وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحَكْمَةِ. They want to misguide someone that Allah has sent down book and wisdom to him. It's ridiculous. A person that Allah has chosen to be guide and provided him with the book and wisdom, you want to misguide him? It's impossible. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. And Allah taught you what you didn't know. There are many things in the Quran that the Prophet didn't know before the Quran was revealed to him. Many news about previous nations, many news about future. There is a beautiful verse in the Quran which Allah says, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't know what is the book, what is faith. It is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah's grace and favor upon you has been great. Okay, if you reflect on this sentence, أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah has sent down to you the book and wisdom. You remember I told you yesterday, there are three verbs used in the Quran for giving wisdom. Sometimes Allah says he has taught wisdom. عَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ تَعْلِيمُ, which means to teach. Sometimes he says آتَيْنَا, means we gave. Sometimes, like here, it says أَنزَلَ, we sent down. So either you are taught wisdom, or you are granted and given wisdom, or wisdom has been sent down to you. There is no other way. As I said, you cannot go and buy wisdom. You cannot go and borrow wisdom. You cannot go and fabricate wisdom. You say, okay, it's a group of us. Let us make today, you know, wisdom here. No, it's not possible. Wisdom is a gift. Wisdom is something which must be coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he can give it to you directly, or he may give this to a prophet, to a holy person, that person can share this wisdom with you. And inshallah, later we will talk about wisdom sometimes being a quality of a person and sometimes being a quality of a sentence, of an advice. And in this case, even a hypocrite may have a wise word. Even a polytheist may have a wise saying. We will talk about this. But as a quality, it only is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this is another verse about wisdom. And as you see, wisdom and the book are very clearly connected. We had about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. We had about Jesus, عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And we have here, أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So the book and wisdom are very much connected. And you remember we said that the Quran itself is Al-Hakim, is the wise. There are a few more verses about wisdom in the Quran, and inshallah soon you will receive the handout. One is verse 125 of Surat An-Nahl, which is chapter 16. Chapter 16, 125. This is very well-known verse, and it is the way about the way we should invite people, we should call people towards Allah, towards religion, towards Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُدْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ظَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. This is one of the very beautiful and insightful verses of the Quran. Sometimes people don't know how to invite people to Islam, or if they have some good idea how to share it with other people. They want to impose it. They want to force people to accept it. It doesn't work. Allah says, call towards the path of your Lord. And this is very important. He doesn't say, call them, invite them towards the truth. No, you must call them towards the path of your Lord. What is the difference? If I call people towards the truth, towards the final destination, it means that they are not going to make any journey by themselves. I should make them able to travel themselves instead of taking them right away to the destination. Because in this way, they feel they own this, and this is their own, you know, achievement. You know, this is famous, what we say, instead of giving fish to people, teach them how to fish. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, call people towards the path of your Lord. In other words, instead of taking people, for example, to Hajj, show them how they can travel and go to Hajj. Instead of giving people just, for example, a certificate, tell them how they can study so that they finally would be given certificate. So it's a matter of efforts, it's a matter of ownership, which come when people actually embark on this journey. أُدْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. Call people towards the path, towards the way of your Lord, بِالْحِكْمَةِ, with wisdom. You must be wise. It's not just enough to be knowledgeable. There are people who are knowledgeable, but unfortunately they are not wise. They don't know how to help people, how to guide people. You have to be wise as well. For example, sometimes, you know, for example, you know, as a medical doctor, you see a patient, and you find that this patient is not eating well, you know, nutrition is a problem. So you say, you must eat this, you must eat this, you must drink this, you must do this. And you don't realize that this person is a poor person, cannot afford to buy all these expensive food and fruits that you suggest. If you are a wise person, first you must realize, what is his financial situation? If you give him all these things and he cannot afford to buy, what is the benefit? A wise doctor is the one who knows what this person can afford and gives him some advice from the things which are available for him. So wisdom is very important. وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. And good advice, good preaching. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. And if you need to argue with them, if you need to discuss with them, to have some kind of debate with them, it must be in the best way. Not with anger. Not by shouting, not by insulting. You never achieve anything if you swear at people or shout at the people. I always say, you know, you don't find even a single person in the world that disagrees with you, and then when you shout at him and insult him, he would accept. If you speak nicely, softly, gently, there is a chance he or she may accept or may not accept. 50-50, 60-40, depends. But if you insult him, for sure he's not going to accept. Even your children, if you want to convince them to do something, if you swear at them and shout at them, they don't accept. Yes, if you have force, maybe you silence that person. Maybe you force that person, but he will not be convinced. So Allah says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Discuss with them in a very nice way, indeed in the best way. Ahsan means the best way. Your Lord truly knows the people who have gone astray, and he knows those who are guided. Inshallah, later when I talk about the views of the commentators of the Quran, I will mention the view of Allama Tabatabai and Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi about this verse. At the moment, we are just reflecting on the verses without commentary. Just I'm giving you short commentary. Later, we will see what is the view of the commentators of the Quran. So here you have this hikmah. Another verse is verse 63 of chapter 43. Inshallah, will be given to you in the handout. Verse 63 of chapter 43, which is Surat Zukhruf. This is again about Jesus. وَلَمَّا جَاءَ إِسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. When Jesus brought manifest signs from God, he told, I have brought you wisdom. He said, I have brought you wisdom. Maybe this refers to gospel. So he meant by I brought you wisdom, I brought you gospel. Maybe this refers to wisdom which is in the gospel and other teachings of Jesus. وَلِأُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي تَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ. I have also come to explain for you some of the things that you disagree on, some of the things that are controversial between you. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear God and obey me. So Jesus has brought wisdom. In chapter 2, number 231, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the middle of the verse, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember the blessing of Allah which has been given to you. وَمَا أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And what he has sent down to you, مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, including the book and wisdom. So Allah has sent down to you the book and wisdom. Sending down the book and wisdom. يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises you to observe this. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear God. وَاعْلَمُوا. And beware. Truly God knows everything. أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. So book and wisdom are sent down. Surat Isra, which is chapter 17, number 39. ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. This is what your Lord has revealed to you from wisdom. Revealed to you is like sent down to you. Enzal and wahy are similar. Your Lord has sent down to you from wisdom. And do not put any partner, do not associate anyone to God, otherwise you will be put in hell. So, أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Your Lord has revealed to you from wisdom. So hikmah here seems to refer to the Quran, to the revelation of God. Surat Ahzab, which is chapter 33, verse 34. This is the verse after Ayatul Tathir. Ayatul Tathir is verse 33. This is the next verse. You know that before and after Ayatul Tathir, God talks to the wives of the Prophet. It's all plural for female. Just in Ayatul Tathir is plural for male. In verse 34, Allah says, Wadhkurna. He says to the wives of the Prophet, remember, ma yutla fi buyutakunna. Remember what is recited in your houses. It means that you should remember Quran, which is recited by the Prophet in your houses. Ma yutla fi buyutakunna min ayatillah. Those verses of God, those communications of God which are recited in your houses, you should remember. Wal hikmah, and the wisdom which is recited in your house. Wisdom and verses. So this also shows that wisdom refers to the Quran. Ma yutla fi buyutikunna min ayatillah wal hikmah. Inna Allah kana latifan khabira. Truly God is latif, means subtle. He knows all the subtle things and he is well informed. Khabira. So this is another verse about hikmah. And finally, the last verse, verse 5 of chapter Qamar, Moon. Chapter Moon, Qamar, verse 5. Hikmatun baligha, fama tughnin nuzur. Hikmatun baligatun means a complete wisdom, something which is completed. So this may refer to the signs of God, which are complete in being showing wisdom. So far we have mentioned all the verses about al-hikmah in different ways. Al-hikmata, al-hikmati, bil-hikmati, and hikmatun. The reason I mentioned in this order is because they are differently used in the Quran according to the syntax. Some are al-hikmata, some al-hikmata, sometimes bil-hikmata with proposition, and finally hikmatun. And this was after the verses about al-hakim and hakim without alif and la. So, overall, what we have understood so far, without referring to the commentators of the Quran, without referring to the hadith, without referring to the views of the experts of Arabic language, just by reflecting and familiarizing ourselves with the verses of the Quran, we have realized that wise is a quality which in the first place is applicable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the wise, and then to his word, the Quran. When you say al-hakim, the wise, you can use it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the Quran. And without alif al-lam, which means just to be wise, not in the first and full-fledged sense, it can be used also for other things. Like, for example, the affairs which are decided in Laylatul Qadr. Then when it comes to wisdom, we realize that wisdom is such a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever has been given wisdom has been given an abundant good. It's not comparable to most of the things that we are given. I'm not saying it's the best thing. Perhaps the best thing is iman, is piety. But it's one of those very, very special things. Even it's more important than knowledge. It's more important than many things that you can imagine. And for sure, it's much more important than money, than position, than reputation, than, you know, for example, you know, beauty. It's much more important than all these things. We realize that wisdom and the book are very much interconnected. Wisdom and the book. And the best way to get wisdom is to familiarize yourself with the book, with the revelation. We also realize that one of the things that a qualified leader must have is to have wisdom. And this is why when Allah wanted to give kingdom to David, for example, Allah gave him also wisdom. Allah gave his prophet Isa wisdom. Allah gave the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wisdom. So these are the things that we have understood by reflecting on wisdom from the Quran. Now, we want to refer to the views of the commentators of the Quran to see how they have analyzed this concept. As far as I know, you don't find a very detailed discussion about wisdom in any of the books. There are many discussions about wisdom here and there, but to have a very detailed and comprehensive discussion about wisdom from a Quranic perspective, I haven't found. Sometimes commenting on one verse, they mention something about wisdom, then a little more when they comment on another verse. So you have to put them together so that you come up with a comprehensive understanding of wisdom. And of course, this is different from philosophy. You know, there are lots of discussion about wisdom, theoretical wisdom, practical wisdom. That is different. That is in another sense. That is the way that philosophers use wisdom, which is different from what the Quran and Hadith talk about wisdom. That's more in the sense of philosophy. It's different. The great Allama Tabatabai in some places in Al-Mizan talks about wisdom. And I give you his idea from different places. For example, when he talks about the verse 125 of chapter 16, you must have it in the handout. Verse 125 of chapter 16. ادع الى سبيل ربك بالحكمه والموعظه الحسنه. He says wisdom is interpreted, so this is the view of other scholars. Then he mentions his own view. He says it's interpreted بِإِصَابَةِ الحق بالعلم والعقل. Wisdom means to hit, to reach the truth. If you are able to reach the truth, بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْعَقْلِ, with knowledge and understanding, this is wisdom, in the way that other people have interpreted. So wisdom is to be able to reach the truth with knowledge and intelligence, understanding. But then he says his own view is that wisdom is the argument, the proof that you use, which leads to the truth. A truth which is clear, there is no doubt, there is no ambiguity about it. So when Allah says, call towards the path of your Lord with wisdom, Allama Tabatabai says that it means that you must use a kind of argument, a kind of proof, which leads to the truth without ambiguity. So the strongest way that someone can make an argument, we call it in logic, burhan. demonstration. If you can demonstrate something, if you can prove it and leave no chance for any doubt and any question, this is wisdom, according to Allama Tabatabai. Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi in Tafsir Nemune, commenting on the same verse, he says, wisdom means knowledge, logic, reasoning. And then he says, the reason wisdom is used here in the sense of knowledge, logic, and reasoning is that because literally wisdom in Arabic comes from the root hakama, which means to stop, to stop. If you have knowledge, if you use logic, if you argue, you stop the way for mischief and for corruption. Therefore, hikmah is used here in the sense that you stop the way for mischief and corruption. In another place, for example, in second volume of Al-Mizan, page 395, when Allama comments on the verse 269 of Surat Baqarah, he says, wisdom is true proposition, true a statement which corresponds to the truth, to the reality, because it leads to human happiness. So any true statement, any true proposition which help you to achieve happiness is wisdom. Even if it is related to natural world, but it can help you in achieving happiness, this is also wisdom. For example, something which tells you how to run your house or your society or your organization in the way that can help you to achieve happiness, this is also wisdom. But just pure science is not related to wisdom. It must have something to do with your sa'ada, with your happiness, with your salvation. So for Allama Tabatabai, here in second volume of Al-Mizan, truth and bearing on happiness and salvation are two elements that must be there together for having wisdom. In another place, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ, Allama Tabatabai says, wisdom is the knowledge which is beneficial. Knowledge about beliefs or knowledge about practice, but must be beneficial. If it is not beneficial, it's just pure knowledge, theoretical knowledge, it's not hikmah. Hikmah must be beneficial. So he makes these kind of comments in different places in Al-Mizan. Also, Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi, in addition to the place that I mentioned, in another place, commenting on the verse 269 of Surat Baqarah, he says that there are different views about hikmah. Hikmah is interpreted as knowing the secrets of the world. Hikmah is interpreted as knowing the truth of the Quran. Hikmah is to reach the truth in your words and action. Hikmah is interpreted as knowing God the Almighty. Hikmah is interpreted as divine light by which you can save yourself from satanic temptations, and you can distinguish between satanic inspirations and divine inspirations. But he says it seems that hikmah as an embracing and comprehensive meaning, and it can include even prophethood. Hikmah, according to Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi, is a type of knowledge, and it is the knowledge which stops people from doing bad things. And this is the reason it has been called hikmah, because it stops you from doing bad things. So it's a knowledge which has practical implication. It's a knowledge that helps you in your practice, helps you not to do bad things. So these are some of the views of the mufassirin or commentators or exegetes of the Quran. Altogether, if I want to summarize for you, I can mention that these are the elements that the commentators of the Quran mention. Knowledge to be beneficial in your happiness and to stop from mischief, from doing bad things. These are three elements that the interpreters of the Quran stress on when they talk about wisdom. They are not able to bring one word as equivalent to wisdom. There is no one word which can do justice. So they use different words, different concepts to elaborate the concept of wisdom. For them, knowledge is definitely needed to be beneficial, especially for your happiness, not just beneficial in making a little money. Beneficial in your happiness is important, and to help you refrain from doing bad things and mischief is also important. So they stress on three major things when they want to define the concept of wisdom. Now, I want to move on to the views of the experts of Arabic language, experts of analyzing the roots of Arabic words. You know, Arabic is a language which is very capable of making different derivatives of the same root. You can have one root and making tens of words from the same root. Like, for example, you have ilm, then you can have alim, alim, allama, a'lam, mu'allim, ma'lam, ma'alim, alima, ya'lamu, i'lam, allama, a'lama. So many things, hundreds of things from the same root. If you know the root, then with knowledge of sarf or morphology, you can understand the meaning of all these hundreds of derivatives. But you have to know the root, and you have to know these, you know, structures, these kind of ways they cast the roots into these forms. There are some books which are very much respected, and some of them are very old. They go centuries back. Some of them are new. One of the famous books is Al-Ayn, Kitab Al-Ayn. In Al-Ayn, volume 3, page 66, he says, Al-Hikmah marji'uha ila al-adl wal-ilm wal-hilm. This person, who is an expert, doesn't find any single word. So he says wisdom goes back to justice, knowledge, and patience. So he has to use three different concepts to enlighten, to shed some light on the concept of wisdom. One is justice. This is interesting. He says justice is part of wisdom, because a wise person is the one who has respect for the rights of people. And this is why he can be a judge. He can be a good ruler. So adl is very important, justice. Ilm, knowledge. You cannot be wise without knowledge. And hilm, this is very beautiful. Hakim is normally in all languages, you know, when they want to use something like this, they use it for a person who is patient. Because if you rush, in your decision making, you cannot find the truth. You cannot, you know, reach the truth. You know, a judge who is in a hurry, who doesn't listen properly, who doesn't read the file, you know, properly, he cannot make proper decision. In Islamic, you know, traditions, we have so much care about judgment that it is said that, for example, you know, so much details. If a judge who is now in the court and he's studying a case, so you are in hurry. Why? Because you need to go to washroom, for example. So because of this, there is a chance that you may not be careful enough. In our hadith, it said that you shouldn't continue your judgment. Go first to the washroom, be relaxed, and then come back and continue. So much care about observing the rights of people. Sometimes because we are in hurry, for example, I am a teacher, I have to mark papers. But then I have appointment with my, for example, you know, friend, we want to go to lunch. So I quickly mark them. So then there is a chance that I may make mistake. Hakim is not making any judgment, any decision in rush. Is patient, listens to people properly, studies, thinks. You know, sometimes people, you may have this experience if you are a leader or if you are, you know, sometimes head of an organization, you find people, you know, put pressure on you, please make decision quickly, please make decision quickly, as if the dunya and the world is going to come to an end if you don't make decision. They want to rush you. They are not patient. But you must not accept this. Let some time, you know, to pass. Bring all the information so that when you make decision, you make proper decision. And most of the time I have seen that nothing is going to happen if you don't, you know, take your time and don't make decision, you know, in rush. Always they say, no, if you don't do this, a big fitna is going to happen. They want to rush you, but you have to be careful. Be cool and quiet and take time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not ask you why you didn't, you know, make a quick decision when you didn't have enough information. But if you don't have enough information and make decision, Allah will question you. So you need always to have time to think, to reflect, to collect all the information, hear different views. Always try to get different opposing views, not just one side of the story. This is what a hakim has to do. A hakim always tries to bring all different opposing, conflicting views together. And then at the end, he makes up his mind. So, in the book Al-Ain, Khalil, who is the author of the book, says, wisdom is going back to justice, knowledge and patience. And then he says, it is used in Arabic, it is said in Arabic language, أحكمته التجارب. They say, experiences has made this person wise. Experience is very important. Inshallah, I will talk about this very much. I believe for people like us, not like the prophets or imams, ordinary people like us, experience is very valuable. It's impossible to have a wise person, wise leader without experience. Nothing can replace experience. You can be genius, but if you don't have experience, you make sometimes funny mistakes. It's very important. If you bring the best medical student fresh from university and put it on top of a hospital, I don't think he would be a good manager of the hospital. If you bring the best student from Hose and make it Imam of Islamic Center, I don't think it would be a good Imam. Nothing can replace experience. Experience is so valuable, so important, that nothing can replace it. In Majma'ul Bahrain, another book, and this book only interprets the words which are used in the Quran and Hadith. So it's a specialized book on interpreting the words, the terminology used in the Quran and Hadith. It is published in three volumes. It is six parts, but three volumes, very thick volumes, by At-Turayhi. He says that, commenting on the verse, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, the one who has been given wisdom has been given an abundant good. He says, to be given wisdom means to be given knowledge and be able to act. Look at this, how this scholar is struggling to explain the meaning of wisdom. He says, it is to have knowledge, but at the same time to be able to act. So it's not just pure knowledge. It's not just knowing something. A knowledge that leads to action, to practice. Hakim is not the one who just knows. Hakim is the one who knows what to do. This is very important. Knows what to do. He also says that hikmah is the knowledge which stops person from doing bad actions. And then he mentions that the Arabs used hakamatul lejam for a metal. You know, when they wanted to control, for example, a horse, to tame it and keep it under control, they used to put a metal in the mouth of the horse. Maybe still they do it, I don't know. I'm not a horse rider. So this metal is put, and then with some rope, they hold it. That metal which is put in the mouth of the horse is called hakama. Hakama. Why? Because with that, the horse has to listen to you. Cannot disobey you and, you know, run away. If you have control over that, the horse is under your control. So it stops the horse from doing mischief. So hikmah comes from the same root. Because hikmah is the knowledge which stops people from doing bad things. So he says, Al-hikmah al-ilmu alladhi yarfa'u al-insan an fi'l al-qabih, is the knowledge which stops people from doing bad things. Or he says, al-hikmah fahmu al-ma'ani, is to understand the concept, the concepts, wa summiyat hikmah la'annaha mana'atun min al-jahl, and it has been called hikmah because it stops from ignorance. This is Majma'ul Bahrain. Another book which is very much used by ulama, by scholars, is Al-Mufradat fi Gharaib al-Qur'an by Ar-Raghib al-Isfahani. This man has written a very good book, and it's about all the terms used in the Qur'an. He says, Al-Hikmah Isabatul Haq bil-ilmi wal-aql. Hikmah is to reach the truth, to find the truth, to discover the truth, with two things, with knowledge and intelligence. Knowledge and understanding, not just knowledge. It's not something that you just learn. It needs also some intellectual exercise. You have to be a person who is intellectual, who is thoughtful, not just memorize something. And then he says, when we use it for Allah and we say Allah's wisdom, it means that Allah knows how to create the things in the best way. When we use it for human beings, it means that human beings who have wisdom, know beings and know what to do to be good. And when we use it for the Quran, it is because the Quran has wise ideas inside. So this is the way he interprets the term wisdom. In Lisanul Arab, which is a very important book, he says, Al-Hikmah Ibaratun an Ma'rifat Afdal al-Ashya bi-Afdal al-Ulum. Hikmah is to know the best of the things with the best of knowledge. So Hakim is selective. Hakim doesn't talk about everything. He doesn't talk about, you know, the things which are not important. Hakim is very focused, very selective. He talks, he gives you ideas about the best things and tells you the best ways to achieve the best things. This is Hakim. You know, sometimes people give you too many ideas and at the end you are wondering what you have to do. They confuse you. Hakim is the one who comes and finds, for example, if we have a Hakim preacher who comes in the month of Ramadan, so what does he do? He doesn't give you just information. He spends some time with the community. Maybe beforehand he asks, when he comes, he spends some time with the community, find out what are the problems. What is this community suffering from? So he tried to know the community. He finds that, for example, there are 10 problems. Then he finds out the priorities. Say, okay, among these 10 problems, there are 2-3 which are the most important. Among these 2-3, there is one which is the most fundamental. So he organizes all his lectures and talks and programs to tackle this most fundamental problem. And then not only he talks about it, he gives you the best solutions. This is Hakim. Otherwise, a preacher comes and gives you just some information. Whether you know it or not know it, it is not going to affect you that much. Or a person comes and just gives you some entertainment. Some lecturers are just to entertain people, just to make you laugh and, you know, enjoy. They didn't give you, don't give you something which can really help you. So Hakim is the person who gives you knowledge about the best things that you need and the best solutions. I wish we had many Hakim people around us. وَيُقَالْ لِمَنْ يُحْسَنُ دَقَائِقَ السَّنَاعَاتِ وَيُتْقِنُهَا حَكِيمٌ. In Arabic, a person who knows all the subtle points, all the important points about every industry is also called Hakim. And finally, this is the final point today, the late Ayatollah Mustafavi, who has several volumes on terminologies of the Quran, At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Quran. He says, Al-Hikmah refers to those judgments which are based on certain knowledge. Certain knowledge. When it is used for judgment, it must be a judgment which is certain. If the judge is not certain, if the judge is not 100% sure, his ruling, his verdict is not based on hikmah. It must be decisive, must be 100% sure. So for him, truth and certainty are important. Sometimes you make a judgment which is true, but you are not sure. You are just lucky. This is not hikmah. If a judge makes a verdict and it happens to be right, this is not good. A judge must be 100% sure. Like, for example, you ask someone a ruling about fasting. What should I do when I travel to this distance? That person doesn't know, just says something, and then it happens to be true. Is it wise? No. A wise person not only tells the truth, he tells the truth when he is certain about it. So Ayatollah Mustafavi says that certainty is part of hikmah. A hakim is the one who has discovered the truth and is sure and certain about it. So these are the views of the experts. Al-Ain, Lisan al-Arab, Majma' al-Bahrain, Mufradat by Raghib, At-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Qur'an. Because the time is over, so inshallah in the next session I start with summarizing what these people have said, and I draw certain elements out of them, and then we continue with the hadith about wisdom. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.